Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Christine Lee. I've been on vacation for a little while. It seems like some things have happened in Bachelor Nation. Katie Pallotta, hello.
Hi.
And Ryan Jones. Hello, Ryan.
It was very difficult doing this without you last week.
Oh, I'm sure. I see you guys managed just fine, especially talking about, you know, bikinis and paradise and all that stuff. But last night was hometown dates. We had some fireworks, and we had some tractor pulls and roses planted and some music played, and ultimately one guy was sent home with his virginity. Katie, Ryan, which of you would like to kick things off?
I mean, I thought it was a pretty boring episode, obviously, until the end. But I was expecting more dramatic family members or like crazy brothers or sisters. And
her season has kind of been boring a little
blah.
Bit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely been stops and starts with long pauses of being sort of bleh, and then you'll have a big pop of something and then bleh for a while, as they tend to do. Made us think that one of the fathers leading into this was saying, I don't want you to pick my son.
Creative editing.
Creative editing, because they cut off the first part of that was, if you're not feeling, okay, well, yeah, duh. I would hope any father or mother would say that. Ultimately, that's what Becca used as her sword to fall on instead of the Tia stuff. And we can start out with that. We can start out with it, because if you'll notice, I'm watching, I'm thinking, wow, we're really flying through these.
Yeah.
The first three were done in just over an hour.
Garrett, Blake, and Jason.
And that left 45 minutes
with Colton.
For Colton, and then the very quick rose ceremony at the end. So you knew the drama was coming with Colton.
Well, before we
jump into that, or we can focus on our planting of...
I want to ask Ryan how you feel about Garrett being as far into this as he is, especially the conversations that we've had, yeah, about the guy's character.
Yeah, and I wonder if Becca feels a need to sort of defend him, or, you know, there are two sides to every story, you don't really know him, because throughout this season, she keeps saying, you remind me of my father, or my father would have really liked you. So then now, knowing what we know about liking these ridiculous Instagram posts and all this stuff, does she not want to go back on the comparisons with her father? And I don't know. Maybe she just wants to overlook all this. I don't know what it is, but nothing has changed for me. I feel super uncomfortable watching him.
Yeah.
That whole hometown.
But they have a chemistry.
And that's the issue here, because they do. And we talked about this a little bit last week. If all of that other, like if he wasn't someone who mocked Parkland students and all that stuff, I'd think he was the favorite here. And I'd want, and maybe he is, but I'd want him to be the favorite. Him or Blake, I'd be like, wow, these are two really good dudes.
Yeah, Blake.
She can't go wrong. Well, she can.
Katie?
I think he's still, he is a front runner out of these three. Yeah, like Ryan said, like we said last week, he's still my number one pick if I didn't
know what I know.
My
favorite hometown visit had to be going to Buffalo, New York, and, you know, eating all the wings. And it just made me, you know, like Blake even more. I've liked him when he fooled around with how many kids do you want? 12.
Or Jason.
Jason, yeah.
And I'm sorry. Like, I'm still on vacation. It made me like him even more. I've always thought that he was a good-looking guy and sweet and kind of a dark horse. But, you know, what's not to love about binging out on wings and just having a good old time in Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, I wondered, what are they going to do in Buffalo? And they're like, oh, so they go Anchor Bar over Duff's, which was sort of the I was talking to someone from that area, and we said, well, do they go Anchor Bar or do they go Duff's? Because those are the two main places, and they decide to go to the place that claims to be the originator. So that made sense. And faux wing eating contest, because she had like three, so clearly she was not there to win, but it was fun. And I'm surprised Jason's here. I never expected Jason to get this far. Again, seems like a good dude,
They don't have the spark that she has with Garrett or even with Colton.
Yeah, he definitely pulled out all the tricks for this one.
Yeah.
Could maybe be an audition for, you know.
He's trying. Yeah,
he's trying.
Yeah. I don't know if he could carry the weight of the show on his shoulders.
I'm not sure either, but it was a good attempt.
But I do like him. And, you know, I like Buffalo. Been up there a couple times, you know, then up through Niagara and then on into Canada. My son's a big Buffalo Bills fan of all things. I don't know how that happened.
It's the only New York football team.
That's right. He sticks to New York. So, you know, I think Buffalo's a great town. And I thought it was fun to see them, you know, in Buffalo when there's not 14 inches of snow.
Yeah. The one day where there's no snow, she managed to get to Buffalo. And Jason, it's so weird because he is a good dude and he put on a great audition, if you will. I like the sort of that setup there. But I think he's easily the running third here. I thought he was running fourth. And if all the stuff didn't happen, it would have made sense for him to be the one that goes. But he's easy to like.
Parents, and what was it, a sibling, a little
brother,
like you
brother
said,
and husband,
nothing.
Yeah, like, who clearly Garrett would not be a fan of.
Right, we all know that. But there was nothing, like you said, that you were shocked by, or they were hemming and hawing a little bit, like, oh, you're dating three other guys still. Do you really like, you know, love our Jason?
Yeah, there was nothing out of all four of the hometown that I thought maybe. They kind of set it up like Garrett's mom maybe could have been really tough, but as soon as she sat down with Becca, it was just normal questions
it was all
and fine.
Pretty
now, Becca standard. Was the first girl that he's brought back home since his mystery marriage that we don't really know much
Garrett,
about.
Yes.
And she tried to get some info out of him. But
instead,
still
it just went sort of back to the, well, he's been through a divorce and I've been through a broken engagement. So that's sort of the same thing.
Right.
Oh, this again. Okay.
So much of that.
Yeah, so that came full circle. So we really don't know what happened. We can only assume, and we've speculated a million times.
Yeah, there's always two sides to every story. And now that we know what we know, whatever. It's clearly a situation that you have to figure is rolling around in there for her. You know, there's no way she really thinks, oh, because I've been through this engagement with Ari that it's, and I'm fine, that it's the same with him and that he's fine. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yeah, and it sounded like his ex-wife, like that whole situation, like really messed him up, I think.
Yes.
Because his sister was saying it changed his whole attitude and outlook on life, and he wasn't the same person. And his mom said around the same thing, and his dad, like, they were all saying, like, this, like, messed him up.
Well, we did the math before. Like, they were together. They were sweethearts in, college? And then they were together for a significant amount of time afterwards. And then they were married for a very short time. Mm-hmm. But when you put it all together of how much time they were literally together, that's a significant chunk of your life to be with someone to all of a sudden after 6 months or 1 year in, you say, whoa, wait, this is not who I,
right.
This isn't what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's definitely a story there. And nobody seems to be able to get it out.
Yeah.
But in general, everything was pretty cool.
Right.
You know, everybody's family seemed pretty okay.
Yeah.
And even Colton's house, which had basically everyone in town, everybody seemed to get along.
That would definitely be what my hometown date would be like.
Yes, because as he's walking in, it's like, oh, well, this is my cousin, and this is my uncle, and this is my aunt, and this is my nephew, and this is my niece. I'm sure when you brought Nick home, that's sort of what it was like.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, there's more?
100%.
So
person
you're
after person.
You have a big family.
Yes.
Oh my lord.
They would all be there.
Before we cover Colton, because we'll have to get to Colton, Tia, and Paradise and all that, but Colorado and Blake and the visiting the school and the story that he told involving I had a hard time I guess at the time the kids didn't know that it was a kid taking their own life, right? It was a suicide, a school-to-school shooting.
Oh, was it? I thought the way he described it was
it was a weird
guy who came in and shot someone to death. That's how.
Yeah, it sounded like it was just a stranger that was in the area.
So he and his mom and they were all at the school, and she got on the intercom and said,
"Code white,
code
white,
white, code white," and he could hear it in her voice. She was terrified and had been crying. And how does that not affect you for the rest of your life? Just in terms of having children, sending them to school, or even stepping back into his own school.
Yeah, even his, I don't know if it was his dad or stepdad because they were both there, but he said to Blake that I think that had more effect on you becoming who you are today than our terrible divorce that his parents went through that he talked about earlier in the season. But he was like, yeah, I think that had the most effect on how you grew up to be who you are today.
In a good way, or in what way do you think? Because sometimes the worst things that happen to you in your life make you become the best person that you can be. Like what he was saying with witnessing his parents' divorce. Like it's impossibly hard, but you come out the other end and you see life differently.
Yeah, I think it's that way that he meant it. Like you overcame, you know, that huge traumatic experience, and now you're taking, you know, each day that you don't want to take anything
for granted. So then you have Blake and you have Garrett who makes these comments about the Parkland survivors, and here you have within the very context of this show a guy who survived a school shooting.
Yeah, I don't know that ABC will go there, but the Men Tell All or on Final Rose, after the Final Rose, will be very interesting. I hadn't thought about that. If that comes up, because Blake was one of those kids, and unfortunately more and more people in this country are those kids, and that's a whole nother conversation. But it is, I mean, when you are Blake and you have your parents who are supposed to be one sort of comforting aspect of your life, and that apparently does not end well, that many divorces are ending well, and then
Unless
you're Demi Moore. Or school, which is supposed to be safe and comforting, which, I mean, as we know, for various reasons, isn't always, but especially like this, that's really got to screw with a guy. And especially hearing from him about how important the school is, and part of it being because he really grew up there with his mother working there. So he had a deeper connection with it than you or I would just going to school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's got to be such a mind screw. This place that you probably view like a second home, quite literally, and that's always there.
I like Blake a lot. He was the one I was thinking of earlier when we were talking about Jason. Blake is the one who cracked the joke about wanting five kids, right?
Yeah.
At the very beginning, like one of the first episodes where, and she's like, I want two. He goes, oh, I want five, and I want them all the girls to have all boys' names.
Yeah.
And I really liked his quirkiness and uniqueness and sweetness and genuineness from that point. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think of the guys who are left, because we know what happened to Colton. I really like Blake.
Yeah, I do too.
And I don't know how I got him confused with Jason, because they look nothing alike.
But very similar in that they both seem to be really
genuine,
good, down-to-earth guys who just, I mean, go through both of their hometowns. It was just, it seemed to just sort of
ride on a Zamboni, eat some wings, have some fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And, you know, Blake seems to go that extra mile. I mean, to not just, to work with the producers, to not just get a concert, but to get who's, you know, a lot of times they, oh, of course, it's Katie Waite performing. Well, you've never heard of Katie before. Stop saying you do. This Betty Who, seemingly, she was singing along. That's not...
Oh, yeah. And if you saw her social media, she was completely fangirling in that whole moment. Like, that must be her favorite artist.
Because I love Betty Who, too. I mean, I only know the one song, but... and Ryan, you could probably name it off the top of your head.
Somebody Loves You.
Yeah, Somebody Loves You. But... And you met her. You actually
have
a story.
Yeah, she was at an event that I was at a year and a half ago, and she's huge. She's like 6'3", Because I'm 6'2", and she's at least taller than me. And so it's rare that when I meet a woman that she's taller, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. And beyond that, she's super nice.
She was super tall, and she had on heels or flats? Like, do you remember?
She didn't have on heels, but they weren't flats. And they were sort of that, like a wedge or whatever, like a proper thing.
So she was like WNBA tall.
She was tall.
She's very tall.
All right.
But she was super cool. Yep. She sounded awesome.
She's so retro.
And yeah, she's definitely a retro sound, but she just totally, like, I could see all of these three actually getting along because she's just a chill chick and an awesome musician. They didn't get to, because she was dancing and singing, but she actually plays piano and stuff. So I would have liked to actually let them show her play a bit, but I'm just glad that Becca got to see someone that she likes and that person isn't a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not someone that they told 5 minutes ago, like what they obviously did with Don Kashane.
Well, but not even Wayne Newton, but many of these new artists that, and maybe new is even putting it lightly, that almost no one's ever heard of. And they say,
Like, Morgan Evans.
Yeah, like, dude, you have no idea who Morgan Evans is because I don't know who Morgan Evans is. Just stop it. This was very
cool. Know him as Kelsey Ballerini's new husband.
See, there you go. But I bet they wouldn't have even known that.
Yeah, probably
but
not.
But Blake's family, again, there was nothing really to get past for Becca, really.
Yeah, everyone's sort of focused on the same thing. He's been through a big heartbreak before, and we're worried about you. Like, how can you handle this if it goes the other way? And he didn't really want to tackle that.
That was the big theme, I think, of the night. Like, the families were more concerned, like, are you going to be okay when you're not the last one? Like, you have to mentally prepare yourself that if she chooses someone else, then are you going to be able to handle it?
I mean, are any of us ever really able to handle it? Like,
well, no.
Of course not. I mean, I think I still remember getting dumped. Yeah. I mean, it's hard.
And imagine it now if it's hyper-focused over 2 months. In front of everybody. And times that by 100. And I can only imagine what that stomach punch is going to be like.
It is a stomach punch.
And only one person is not going to get it unless it's Ari. Then two people get it. So who knows? But I mean, literally everyone got the stomach punch there. So I understand what they're trying to say. And it goes back to us saying, like, have you watched the show before? This is what they signed up for. Well, there are other people involved. Yes, we know that. We understand that. I know. This is shocking news. What? They're dating other people. But there's no way to prepare yourself. There just isn't. Even if you've been through, and some of these guys have, terrible breakups before, this is on a whole nother level.
Well, Colton, this is kind of like the one we've been waiting for. The date starts out where they go visit Children's Hospital.
Just so sweet.
Super sweet.
I mean, they went shopping beforehand.
But they're setting us up. Of course they're setting us up for the juxtaposition between visiting kids and then he kind of still has feelings bring in Tia and come on, he's not innocent in this deal. We don't know why he came on the show. Was it for Becca? There's still all these questions swirling around, you know, so they're trying to do this whole sinner saint thing. Like, he's a virgin. He goes to see kids. But he came to meet Tia, not Becca.
There's so much wrong with this, first of all. And not the date part. The date was awesome. And here's the thing. So they, not only are we going to the children's hospital, but we're going to go shopping first. And they hang out and they paint. And these kids are like the cutest thing ever. And it just makes you want to cry, basically, because...
Or have kids.
Or, well, more...
Either.
Speaking of crying. But then he goes home and it's all these people and the little nieces and saying, oh, is this your girlfriend? Everything's perfect. Even the father saying, hey, if it's not right, just want to end it now. All pretty normal.
No, that father kind of scared me. I don't know if I'd want him as my father-in-law. He seemed a little intense.
He was totally intense, but again, I think in an expected way.
I was just like, ooh, okay, man.
But then, so you go through all that and you're thinking, okay, yeah, this guy's a virgin and why you talk about it with your mother is a whole other issue, but...
I think it's great.
See, I don't think that they really do talk about it because he mentioned it and she was kind of like,
What?
Not like surprised, but
she definitely
like,
wasn't surprised.
Yeah,
because
but
he said it as if as if she knew.
Yeah, but I don't know if she like fully knew because then she mentioned it to Becca, and Becca was like, oh, like going off of it, and then she's like, well, we don't normally really talk about that, and she's like, oh, well, like we did, and I don't know. She just seemed like. She didn't think that it was going to
be on TV. Have you seen Blockers with John Cena?
Yes.
There's two types of parents. There's the parents who are overprotective and don't believe their kids are doing anything, and they find out that they are. They go and hunt them down. And then there's the parents that are having sex, and their kids know that they're having sex, and they regularly talk about the sex that they have. You know, so it's like... Which one does Colton...
Yeah. But I think there's different things. I don't think there's anything wrong with being involved in your child's life and making sure they're properly educated.
I would have been all John Cena on my kids.
But when you're
kidding?
An adult, to even have that conversation with your parents, I don't know.
It's
I think
little out there.
Yeah. You would talk to your mother about...
Actually, no joke, I never talked to my mother about that stuff growing up. But when I got older... I did. I actually did because I don't have a sister or a brother. And so she was the only person I could talk to about that. I don't know. I didn't get graphic.
No.
But I let's hope not.
So next.
I did ask her, Mom, is this where that goes? No, I'm kidding. But it's not something I would have brought up in front of my dad.
But when the worst thing about, and worst probably isn't the right term, but when the most noteworthy thing from the hometown visits is, oh, well, the father's a little overprotective and the mother and him talked about him being a virgin. That's very drama free when those are the things that we're talking about here.
I felt bad for him when he said that he... being a virgin is a thing. Like, why does it have to be a thing? Like, why does it have to be what everyone's... This is my choice. This is part of who I... Why does it have to define me? And I kind of felt for him because we always encourage our kids to be responsible and not just have sex to get it out of the way. You know, and here's someone, either guys or girls who make that decision. And then it's a whole storyline and he feels flayed alive for it in some ways.
Well, I think that's the only storyline left. Yeah. Honestly.
It really is.
Well, enter Tia.
Yeah. Exactly.
And here's it. So everything goes great. Yeah. Everything's. And he comes out of that looking like a front runner, right with any of the other three guys and then Jason. So great. No problem. And then the girls show up. And as she's going through who's left, they're excited. And then they go to the third one. They say Colorado. And you saw them sort of look at each other. And they said it wasn't. Okay. Well, it's Blake. Okay.
But they're less than an hour away from each other.
I didn't know that.
Google Maps.
And then she she mentions Colton. And immediately you saw Tia and who's the other one? I forget her name. The one no one knows.
Caroline. She's,
Caroline, yes. Thank you. Just look at each other. And you knew, okay, well, here we go. And there's all kinds of issues here.
I would like to say one thing, I will admit. I looked up, after we all did our fantasy picks, okay? I looked up Reality Steve because there was some story about Ari that I found. I went down the rabbit hole, and I saw his prediction of who won this season. And I would like to tell you that he was kicked off the show last night. So I just found that very interesting that this is a guy who's usually right, and now even he was duped. So either ABC's getting better at keeping their secrets, or this was totally blindsided everyone, including people on the show.
Yeah. This whole Tia thing is... I don't know. She's still trying to get back at Becca, I think, for being the Bachelorette. Like, she still wanted to be the Bachelorette. And it's all the way... We're all the way...
You think she's that mean girl to go this far?
I don't think she's a
like
mean
Ryan
girl,
would
but...
would say that's a long game to play.
She's being a mean girl, but she's like that jealous friend that you have that every
is
time
so
you try to be...
happy for you, but then it hates you.
Yeah.
Right.
Happy for you and then tries to one-up you. basically, each time.
Right.
And I actually would go as far as say Mean Girl now. Like, I am done with Tia after this. And you want to leave it at Colton's feet a little bit, and that's fine.
And you loved Tia.
I did. But this was enough. It was, she brings her out and starts telling her this, and all I want to scream is, no one asked you, Tia!
Right.
What are you doing? And perfect example of, this would have been information important for me to have a month ago.
Well, that's what Becca said.
Why are you waiting to
tell
me?
And not only that, but she had the opportunity, like, they already addressed this.
And she said, I'm over it.
Yeah, and so she was like,
flat out asked her.
Yeah. She was like, I give you my blessing, like, I'm over him. It was a weekend, which it was literally just a weekend.
Yeah, so either nothing happened and there's nothing to be worried about, or there's more to it than what we know about, and you're massively into this person. Or, like you guys are saying, it's a mean girl syndrome and she's just basically trying to.
Yeah, but you're, her time passed. Like, you had the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable with it. I still have feelings for him. And then Becca, honestly, probably that week would have been like, okay, Colton, you're gone.
How many times can this girl be kicked while she's down? I mean, I think this is a total, like you said, there's really not a lot of drama. All the guys have been super nice. There's really been a hard to define a villain other than Goldie Pants, who was gone fairly quickly. So
Tia is the villain.
The villain. She, right.
Very, very clearly. And, you know, they think that it's ABC anyways, either likes the drama or doesn't think she's seen as the villain because they're going to put them together or at least give them the opportunity to be together in Paradise.
And that happened super quick. Like,
and,
you showed
well,
because
that's
Instagram
the thing.
Post.
So they reveal these things because they don't want to let you know someone's in Paradise when they're still on the show because
right.
that, spoiler alert, they're not on the show anymore. So as people get eliminated, they tell you whether they're on Paradise or not. So these two are going to have their opportunity to whatever in Paradise. And if they get together, fine. Then we can sort of reassess everything. But I think this is 100% on Tia, that if you felt this way, you tell it a month ago. And once you let that time pass, you shut your damn mouth. Plain and simple.
Yeah. This should be worth it. They should be together forever after this.
Do you know, I'm laughing because I saw somebody posted the GIF or GIF of Nick Batch in Paradise when he's walking around. Like, do you know the one I'm talking about? He's walking in circles and he has like a little pot belly. For some reason, he stuck it out. And so he looks like, I'm going to have to post it.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to look at it.
I can't stop.
And actually, maybe T and Nick should just run away.
I think
because
they'd be great
maybe.
Together.
It's just, this whole situation is just, I'm sitting there yelling at my TV, like, what has happened to me that I've this woman who I, you know, thought would be a perfect bachelorette.
By the way, Katie and I called Tia a long time ago.
You did.
I think maybe three or four seasons ago. So,
well, I don't think Colton was not expecting to go home. Like, he and they chose to keep that in there, but he went to Chris Harrison and was like, you know, fantasy suites, like,
I was looking forward to
P.S. in case you haven't heard
that.
My entire season, I'm a virgin and I don't know, like, he basically said, I don't know what to do.
And so I'm glad we didn't get out of here without touching on this, because this could save the entire season, because this is an all-time Bachelor moment. Basically, him asking Chris Harrison
for advice.
Not even advice. He was basically asking, do I have to have sex? I think about that. Like, try to process this of a grown man.
Literally flat out. He was like,
asking
what
the
do
host
I do?
But
of
Chris
the show.
Harrison's look on his face was priceless.
Well, I think he was trying not to laugh, honestly.
Because he's heard a lot of things over the years, and
of
this
course.
Has to be in the top three of,
yeah.
Wait, this guy's asking me if I'm, do I have to tell him if he has to have sex or not? I'm not quite understanding. And it just, yeah, there you go. I assume he's being a dinosaur there. I don't know. But anyway.
No, I'm sorry. I showed him Nick walking around on Paradise.
We will retweet that so everybody
retweet.
Can see it. At Bachelor Podcast. But it's just this. Right after I'm done defending Colton, of course. But he how do you go up and Chris, I thought, had a great response. He said, this is as best as he could, because he was clearly flustered because he couldn't find the words
at
first.
Oh, yeah. Like, how can you answer that seriously?
That's between, as a man, I mean, as a couple.
That's between.
You guys talk about, and clearly he hasn't seen the show, because there, believe it or not, have been instances where they've been very clear about that, and not even just people leaving and not staying over. Was it Sean, I think? But actually do just talk. Like it, that is a thing.
It's the only time that you have where the cameras are away from you, where you can get to know someone and
so
find out.
A lot of people roll their eyes at that, myself included, in multiple times. But it really is, there are certain things you don't want to talk about in front of the camera, even if you agree to be on a show called The Bachelorette or Bachelor. And that's, like you said, the only time.
Right.
There are no
mics. That was definitely a top moment, though. Even though it was maybe 30 seconds, like, that was pretty great.
And a little bit, obviously, ended up being cart before the horse because, well, doesn't matter now, buddy. But how do you ask?
You don't have to worry about that.
How do you basically ask for, like, a to-do list? I don't.
Oh, my God.
But from Chris Harrison.
From Chris Harrison.
Like, not even, like.
You're assuming Chris Harrison has the answers that you're looking for, too. I mean, that's a lot to ask of a guy.
He's all-knowing.
Well, he is sort of like the Obi-Wan of Bachelor Nation.
So, I guess you could say that.
These are not the fantasy suites you are looking for.
Jedi son. But, yeah, so Colton is gone, and he was the favored person. So now we're left with Jason, Blake, and Garrett.
And Colton was, like we were just talking about, stomach punches. This was the first one, and there are going to be two more, but he was leveled.
Oh, absolutely.
And he could barely walk out to where they stopped to sort of have their short chat.
He literally didn't see it coming, completely blindsided. And I'm wondering if he's going to have a conversation with Tia in Paradise. Like, what the hell?
And this is where I have an issue with
you
Becca.
You ruined my chances.
How do you not tell him?
Yeah.
That
she was definitely
said.
The big, I guess, bigger person in the situation. But
you
I don't know. I probably would have said something on the way out. Like,
conversation
by the way.
With your father and this and that. No.
Don't you want to verify?
Even if you want to claim that that wasn't the reason, you have to, if not stop beforehand and say, listen, can we talk?
Yeah.
Is this a thing? Do you have, even though he had already said
just
it wasn't.
Just to watch for his face to see if it even
but,
has a tell on
but
it.
But once you make the decision on the way out, how do you not tell him?
Yeah, well, and she, and he didn't even know. He was like, I don't know what went wrong. So now he's going home not knowing anything until it either right after this or
he
watches this.
Is there a chance that she could say, I've made a mistake?
Sure. I mean, she does say next week, I did what Ari did. So who knows? I guess. But they already said he's going to Paradise, though. So
yeah, they wouldn't have announced that. I think they would have. Yeah.
But it's just, how do you not tell him what Tia said to you? It just it boggles my mind.
Well, because I'm a very confrontational person, I would have marched right up, and I can't be in the CIA. Like, Ryan can hold a secret for years and keep it in the back and pull it out of his back pocket and lay it down when he, not me. I'll blow up. Like,
I would have been like, have fun with Tia, and then like shut the door or ask Tia, she knows.
All right, so we have fantasy suites coming up, and then Men Tell All, which will be interesting. And the finale is in Thailand, which is, you know, perfect. Like, you know, maybe Bradley Cooper and the cast of The Hangover will show up. I don't know. But we don't have much time left.
Yeah, I wonder if in the finale or even near Men Tell All, like, I would really like to hear what the girls had to say about Tia bringing Becca aside for that, because they obviously knew what she was going to talk to Becca about, but I couldn't read their reactions.
It seemed like maybe Caroline was the only one that actually knew.
Caroline seems to be in on almost everything.
She's that quiet one that knows everything.
They've been texting about it. Oh, she kept telling me how she's feeling sick. And I was like, shut the hell up.
Yeah, I feel like a couple of them were like, what is she doing? And then Caroline was like, oh,
and the fact that she brought this group back twice, it would be nice to have them, if not Men Tell All, even though it's, again, Men Tell All.
Yeah. Just comment on
it. After the final rose.
Oh, they will. They'll have to, because we need answers, damn it. We need to know, because that was not okay.
And Colton is now in a no-win situation.
He is.
Because if he goes to Paradise and this is a thing, well, then everyone's going to say
you
exactly.
You said you were over her.
Right.
And you said you didn't want to, you know, go on the show to, because you thought it was Tia.
And then if he doesn't, people say, well, you're just doing that because you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Because you said
it's a
you
lose.
He's in a catch-22.
And this
for
is
sure.
All on Tia. I'm sorry. It's just,
It is.
Boo.
Of the guys who are left, my vote now is for Blake.
Or yeah, I would agree.
I think he's the best.
My vote is for anyone but Garrett.
Can we say that?
But yeah, I think Blake makes the most sense. They obviously have a chemistry. She's been very clear the last, 3 weeks now?
But that's who we want. Who do we think she'll pick?
I think Blake. Blake makes the most sense.
Katie?
I'm still going to say I like Blake too, but I think I really do think it's going to be Garrett.
Ugh.
Yeah, I want her to pick Blake or Jason, but I agree with you, especially considering all the defense that she has thrown up for him on
what
his behalf.
What a PR nightmare that will be for ABC, because there's no way you can tell
intrigued, so I'm going to say Garrett.
Every interviewer not to talk about that stuff, and they can have their canned answers all they want, but what a mess. I can't even, wow. So I'm still anyone but Garrett, but I'm going to go with Blake.
Yeah.
Of the final three.
Well, you can find us online as always at Bachelor Podcast across all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and we'll be back next week with more revelations. Any last words? Any last thoughts? Any words of wisdom?
Go away, Tia.
Oh, my. I never thought I'd heard him say that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.